All right. So yesterday we did the Hakdama. We did the Hakdama to this Mizma Lamites. And now we go into the Mizma. Lamatzech Lidus and Mizma LeDavid. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehyeh Bedvaroi.
Amen.
Lamatzech Lidus and Mizma LeDavid. Amarti, I have said, Eshmeno Derechai Mechatoi. David says, I said to myself, I will guard my ways from sinning. V'lashoni Eshmeno, with my tongue, Eshmeno, with my tongue, Eshmer, I will guard, Lefi, my mouth, Machasoim, to put on a muzzle. Okay, we have to read this more precisely, we'll see you in a second. But Oid Rosh Lenegdi, while the Rosh is before. Okay, basically, David, what you're saying.
Today is the yard side of the Chafetz Chaim for this puzzle.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's spooky. That's really scary. Hashkacha Pratis was Zoicha to be learning a pasuk about Lashon Hara on the day of the yard side of the Chafetz Chaim. Unbelievable. You're right. You put those two together. Radin. They don't know exactly where his grave is. They show a picture of, they put up a matseva, but they don't really know where he's buried. It's somewhere in that area.
Whatever you gotta do, you can do.
Isn't it amazing? They have the mamish support of the people who changed the world to such a degree, and he's, they don't even know where he's buried. They can't even identify his grave. It's incredible. Hashkacha. In any event, fine, we'll read this, let's go a little bit further, and we'll go through the words in their detail. One moment, let's read the words. Ne'alamti dumia. Ne'alamti means I'm silent, and dumia means two words which mean the same thing, and in fact the third word also means the same thing. Hechashesi. I was silent. Three words. Ne'alamti dumia. Hechashesi. Mitoiv, from good. Uche'evi, nechor, and my pain. Echevi means my pain. Nechor caused me to become confused. Nechar is a hard word to translate. In the Tzuzah Tzion, it says Nechar Inyan Hashchasa, dirty water. Nechar usually uses reference to muddy water, water.
Okay, but well, here it says, he translated, my pain was intense.
Okay, my pain was intense. We're going to read all the Mufarshim here in a moment. There's some very nice things in the Chumash Anoch. Let's see. Cham libi bikiri, my heart is hot within me, it is warm. Behagigi sivar esh. Behagigi is a very interesting word. According to some of Farsha, means it is in between thought and speech. Now what does that mean? Well, one of the Farsha on the page says it's a word, it doesn't mean thinking and it doesn't mean speaking. It means when your mind begins, it's more than thinking. So we'll see in a second. It's a heart, so to say, a machshava. The Hagigi, according to this, one of the Mefarshim on this page, which I forgot which one, says when a person begins to speak. In other words, this happens very quickly. Hopefully, most people, they think. And then, as they're about to express themselves in words, that's the moment called...
The tip of your tongue.
Exactly. That's the moment called the Hagigi. A whole new translation for this word. Okay, Tivar Esh, when I think, I burn with fire. Dibarti v'lashoni, I speak with my lips. I'm just saying words here. We have to translate this much more precisely into the Zavin and Rashi. Hodien Hashem Kitzi. Now over here, David asks for this very spooky thing. Let me know. This is a very, very famous medrash. David asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to know when I'm going to die. Tell me the day of my death. Umidas yomai mahi eda. Let me know me chodel ani. Let me know how feeble. Chodel means how weak. There's a lot of good vocabulary words that we have to analyze in much more detail. Let's start right now. Let's start again. And we're going to go through this much more carefully. So, Amarti, Pasig Beis. Let's see, you got away the Mitzudos David.
The whole page is about talking.
Sorry?
The whole page
is about David speaking, right? Being silent from speech.
Different expressions.
Let's see right away the Mitzudos David. The Mitzudos David on page 352. Pasig Beis. We have to go back one page. Back page 351, Amarti. Chashavti b'libi. Right away, the Mitzvah stuff, it says that when it says here in Pasig Beis, Amarti, don't take that literally. It does not mean I spoke, it means I thought. I thought, Amarti. Amarti, chashavti b'libi. I thought in my mind. Eshmera, min hagai, I will guard my ways, min hagai, my ways. David says, Amarti, I thought that when I come up against difficulty, Midas Hadin, Hashem judges me with Midas Hadin, I will. Now that doesn't say that in the pasuk. Does not say anywhere in the pasuk that David HaMelech over here is dealing with a situation where he's being challenged by Hashem with suffering. But that is assumed. When I feel as if I'm suffering, I made a conscious decision. I will not complain. I will not say anything bad against Hashem. This was the whole nisayon of Eiyof. Hashem brought upon Eiyof terrible yisurim, and the whole goal was to see if Eiyof would say something negative against Hashem.
Nothing to think.
I should even try. So here, I even think, exactly. So according to them, that's a chiddush, because the word amarti does not mean to think over here. Yet he translates what amarti to mean, I choshavti. Choshavti belibi, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will meet, will punish me, will bring upon me Yisurim, I made a decision that I will not even allow my mind to think anything negative about the situation. There will be no complaints. I will not in any way challenge Hashem's hanhaga of this world. So again, one of the words amarti, I thought that eshmera derochai mechatoi. I will guard. Now derochai, let's just go back one more time. Eshmera min hogai melechatoi v'loshani ledaber ba'mul midasadin. Okay, so the word derochai is a very unusual way. The mitzvah stuff it translates the word derochai is not the typical way. He's saying the word derochai means I'm going to guard my mouth. I'm going to guard or min hogai. Min hogai, what does it mean? My customs? I made a plan that I will guard my ways not to challenge Hashem as to why he's bringing upon me suffering. V'lishayni. So there was derochai. It's very hard. It's very, 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 the way he translates the word is very difficult. It says here the word amarti, which means to think. And then it says I'm going to guard derochai, my min hogai. Mechatoi v'lishayni, from sinning with my lips. I'm not going to utter anything nasty against Hashem. That's the end of the first statement. So according to the Mitzvah, it's David, we put a period after the word v'lishayni. Obviously, you see there are so many words here, and the words are very abstract. You can probably go and slice and dice this pasuk in many different ways. The Mitzvah David is laying out a yisoid that we're going to take amarti. Eshmer is two, derochai, mechatoi, there are five words, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These five words go together. I made a decision that I'm going to guard my ways and prevent myself from sinning with my lips, not to complain. Next, page 352, second half of the pasuk. Eshmera lefi machsoim. Eshmer atzmi, I'm going to guard myself. Now here he is in the words, ki'ilu. Okay, a lot of added words. Ki'ilu hoya al pi machsoim, as if there was on my mouth a muzzle.
That's pretty obvious, right?
I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of embellishing.
It's literally.
A lot of embellishing. Eshmar atzmi, I'm going to guard myself. Ki'ilu hoya al pi on my mouth machsoim muzzle. Asher yimna hadibur, that will prevent words from coming forth. Ritzon olaymar. Now, ritzon olaymar. Im kol hakoev habo alai. Again, he goes back to something that it does not say in the pasuk. According to the Mitzudos, the subject here is pain, suffering, Yisurim. David is suffering. Nevertheless, I'm going to make sure I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to make sounds. Lo etzak, I will not cry out lehis ra'im, to complain. Next, be'oid rosho l'negdi. Bizman, asher harosh habo levakreni. Oh, now he's saying another idea. When am I not going to complain specifically? When I get a visitor. David, you have a visitor. Who has come to visit me today? Doyeko Adoimi, Achi Toifel. David's arch enemies have come to visit him. So if David's going to sit there on the bed, oi, I'm in so much pain, oi vey, then his enemies are going to gloat. And on the front page of the National Enquirer, it's going to say all these things that David is dying. Do you remember when Trump got COVID? What they said about him? They were planning his funeral. And it was not going to be like the Queen, that's for sure.
No.
They were not looking to make such a funeral for him. And they were writing that he was on a respirator. They said all of these things that were going on. They just gloating. They couldn't wait for his death. Unbelievable. B'zman asher harosha habo levakreini oimel neidi ki echshav kasher etzak oz yismach b'tzorasi. If I'm going to complain when the rasha is in front of me, then he's going to have more joy. Now, this is a real disappointment at the end of the pasuk. Because, you know, we start off the pasuk, it almost sounds like David is going to outdo Eiyof. It's between him and Hashem. Oh, Ribbono shel Olam, you bring upon me Yisurim. I'm a kabel ba'ahava. The Yisurim, I'm going to elevate myself in order to have a greater portion in the next world. Esasher, Esasher ohev yochiach. The people who Hashem loves, he gives them Yisurim. And then at the end of the pasuk, spoils the whole show.
I think he means something else.
Okay, that's a different shot. Right. Okay, that he's saying a very beautiful idea.
Not only Yetzer Hara, but he himself.
You're saying a beautiful idea, but that's not. You're saying what Kalman over here is saying is that when the Rosh is Ledegdi, means the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, Enechanami, David over here is, it's between him and Hashem. It's not dealing with wicked people coming in to visiting ours, and his evil friends are coming to gloat over. No, he's all alone, and he's working on his midos, his relationship with Hashem, and the Rasha here is the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Hara that is trying to tell David, say something nasty to Hashem, complain to Hashem. Just exactly what happened with Eiyof. Eiyof, it was really more between him and Hashem. The friends were not really significant. The friends, they came to talk to him. He complained to his friends. That was not the issue. Okay, you're saying a very deep idea.
His wife,
right? They were on his team. It was between him and Hashem. So, but Rav Kalman, I hear what you're saying. You're saying something very, very deep.
But the Pashup Shah,
when it says here the word, you're saying the deep idea, but the Pashup Shah in the Mitzvah of it is, he doesn't talk about the Yetzer Hara. He talks, and the whole theme of these last few Mizmorim, we mentioned Achitofel, and Doeg, and all of his enemies. We're talking with real people that are coming over here to Pashup Shah. Pashup Shah, David over here is saying that when my enemies come to visit me, I'm going to keep my mouth shut, I'm not going to complain, everything is wonderful. I recently had I learned with someone a little bit, not too much, and he was very, very ill. He had a certain problem. So I said to him, he's a very religious person. I said to him, "How are you?" He says, "Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, wonderful." So I said to him, "It's that bad?" And he starts laughing, and he says, "Yes, it is. It's that bad. He's in enormous pain. Now, Baruch Hashem, he recovered. He has a certain condition, whatever. He gets this very, very often. I said, it's that bad. The more you talk religion, the more I know how much pain you are in. David over here is saying, when my enemies come, I'm going to say, Baruch Hashem, it's wonderful. Because if I say one bad word, the other, oh, you see, David is no tzaddikal. He makes believe he's a tzaddikal, he's not a tzaddikal. Okay, next. This is the pshat in the pasuk lefi the mitzvah stavid. Let's now do pasuk gimel ne'elamti dumia mitzvah stavid ne'elamti dumia kol kach argil atzmi b'shtika. I have trained myself to be silent. Ad shenaseisi ki ilein ba'avur hashesika. It's second nature to me. My koyach to be silent and not complain and not give out shouts of tzar is second nature to the degree where people will think I'm an ilein. They'll think that I just don't have vocal cords. Hecheshesi mitoiv ki shosakti miladaber gam devarim toivim v'nichumim ki pen birvoyis ha'advarim etzak ve'esrim. This is a very interesting idea. David says that I've gone to an extreme. I've trained myself to keep my mouth shut. I don't even say something nice. Ordinarily, you know, there's a time to speak eis lachashois for eis ledaber in Koheles. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to speak. You go and you say nice things to people. You give other people comfort. David's saying that he went to such an extreme, he could not even give a person a compliment. He couldn't go and give someone else nechama because he went to an extreme to train himself not to complain. And then he says another idea. He contradicts himself and he says, ki pen birvois hadavarim. This is a different idea. First, he goes on. He says that I've trained. He starts off. Kol kach argulatzmi b'shtika ad shenasesi kile. Bavur hashtika, hechshesi b'toyf. I was even silent from saying good things. As a consequence of too much, of going to an extreme of not speaking. And then he says a new idea. You know, if I go to a nicham avelim, and I start getting into a conversation and start attempting mechazek somebody, I'm going to slip. And in the nice things that I say to someone, I may inadvertently give a complaint about my matzav, my difficult matzav. You know, today's the yartzeit of the Chofetz Chaim. So you would think, I heard this many times, they have the same idea in many tzvim, they write about the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim, obviously, he taught the world to think before you speak, to learn the halachas, to know what to say. And you would assume a person who wrote the book on Lashon Hara, he himself didn't say a word. You would think Chofetz Chaim was quiet. You can count his words, never opened his mouth. Every time you open your mouth, who knows what you can say? And all of the people who knew him and who wrote about him, they say it was just the opposite. The Chofetz Chaim would talk. He was from the big talkers. You come to his home, he was a schmoozer. He would talk. And that's really incredible. It's incredible that he had the koyach adibur. He wasn't shy to say, to have a conversation, and to talk about what's going on in the world, to talk and learning, talk about. And yet, with all of his dibur, he had the talent of knowing what not to say. It's a godless. I mean, it's a very big godless to put a muzzle on your mouth. That's also a very big godless. But to be able to master the inyan of Lashon Hara and still be a medaber, and still have no problem getting on the bus and having conversation with whoever you're sitting next to, and walking down the street and getting into conversation, and yet be able to hold secrets, to keep all the secrets to yourself and not say anything nasty about someone, and not to and say Lashon Hara, that's an incredible godless. Okay, that's a different concept. Not to give a compliment.
Right.
Once you start saying something good, the Pashup Shana Halach is that if someone walks and gives a compliment, did you hear his davening? Wow, he was this Baal Tfila. There are people who are listening to the conversation get jealous. And even the person who speaks gets jealous. Wow, this person is so successful. And then all of a sudden, there's one word that enters into the conversation. But. All the compliments are nothing more than a hakadama to the word but. And then, avol. Efes. Avol. He doesn't have the smile.
The same thing.
Right. They first said... But then they said everything went sour. So that's another halacha that once a person should not overdo it, should not be excessive in his compliments, because it's going to lead to jealousy, and then people are going to say, yeah, all is true, but, and that opens up the door for Lashon Hara. I know this is one halacha people are very, very makbid on. They're very makbid not to give compliments. People are very, very mocked never to say something nice about anyone, because it may lead to Lashon Hara. If you say something nice, you know what could happen. Go to Gehenna for Lashon Hara. So therefore, let's never, ever say anything nice about anyone. Okay, unfortunately, this is one halacha that people are too mocked on. Much too mocked on. So you're saying another idea. Remember, Kalman, you're saying that there's a concept that if a person gives compliments, it may lead to Lashon Hara. I don't think that's what the Mitzvah Stavad Ovir is saying. He's saying over here is that when a person talks, people who talk a lot have a tendency to say the wrong, to give over information that's not proper, not appropriate. And David's saying, because I was afraid, I'm in a matzav of tsar, I'm afraid. If I'm going to get into a casual conversation with someone, it may lead to giving out, saying something that is not proper, better not say anything. Let's go further. mitav ki peg peg ki pen bir voice had varmat etzak vesra aim uchevi nich or im ki ke evi nich or, even though my pain was nich was sorry neck or, okay, it was intense. Rav Michal said the means over here intense. According to the Mesudas Sion, it says in hashchosa, they were destructive. My pain was causing my body to be destroyed. In kolze esapak esapek va'acharish, I held back. I kept my mouth shut. I did not insult anyone. Pasuk Dalid. Cham libi halev asher bekibi nischanem meoid me'esh acholi. The Mitzudos here interprets this pasuk in reference to physical pain. He's not discussing anguish. He's not discussing spiritual matters. He's discussing that I have temperature, I have fever. I have a fever.
Inflammation,
okay, that's an interesting idea. Fever is associated medically with inflammation. Is that necessarily true? I don't know if that's necessarily true. There are two different issues. People have inflammation, which is one problem, and then this fever, which means there are other issues going on in the body. I don't know. My body temperature is hot. I have a high temperature. Me'esh ha'choli, from the fire of my illness. Okay, it's obviously a medical term. Behagigi. Now here is an interesting word. Behagigi. Kishehege yoytze mipi bo'eres ko'esh. He learns behagigi means when a thought comes out of my mouth. Let's look at the Mitzudos Tzion. Mitzudos Tzion behagigi miloshoin higoyoin vidibur. Okay, it's just as vague. We'll see on the Mefarshim. It means a thought. Basically, it means a thought. When a thought percolates and comes forth through my mouth, kishe hege yoytze mipi, when words come through my mouth, boy eres koesh. Why? Ki ha-hevel cha-mo'oid. He's saying over here, just a physical, it would appear to be, according to the Mitzudos, a physical observation. His breath, the breath that comes out of his mouth, the temperature is not normal. It is way above what it should be, which is indicative of a serious disease. Dibartiv l'shani musav al tivar esh, loymar tivar ko'esh, kish adaber b'l'shani. It burns with fire, the words that come out of my mouth, because of I'm sick. It's just I have a temperature. V'chafal hadavar b'miloy shoynos mitzudos, typical of mitzudos. It's poetic repetition. Period. Pasuk hey, how then he says David feels is about now. This pasuk over here is a very profound pasuk. Now, what's very sad is that we read this pasuk every so often. We come across pasuk in Chazal. That David asked Hashem, how much time do I got left in this world? When am I going to die? And this pasuk is David asked Hashem, let me know, I want to know I'm going to die. What is the advantage of knowing when a person is going to die? You can plan. You can do proper, you know, go to the actuary. If the actuaries knew exactly when every single person will die, then, you know, the life insurance companies will go out of business. Okay, because, you know, you can... you take away the surprise, what's going to be. But we always look at this pasuk as David is a healthy person. He's accomplishing. He's ruling over Klal Yisrael. He's in the Beis Medrash. And one day he says to Hashem, you know, I'm going today to my accountant, to my my estate planning. I'm going today, you know, to fill out the living will. I want to know. You know, I want to make some plans. So according to if you look at the pasuk in its context, especially according to the Mitzudos David, it's not the case. David said this to Hashem when he was deathly ill, when he was ben achayim v'hamavis. He was deathly ill. The doctor said, you don't have much time left. Maybe the doctors gave him his life. You're not going to live more than a week. You're not going to live more than a day. David says to Hashem, Hashem, are they right? How much time do I got left? Because I want to make a decision. Should I tell them to pull the plug? Should I tell them not to give me food? There are halachas. There indeed are halachas that apply when a person has a limited amount of time, how much is he mechuyev to suffer? How much is a person obligated to suffer when anyway his time is very short? We haven't done this in a long time, but we once spent time on medical ethics. And I think I'm recalling from Rabbi Osher Weiss. Rabbi Osher Weiss today is a shame davar. He's now, I think, he works for the OU. He does a lot of things. And one of the things, he's a poisek for the OU in the kashrus division. And once anyone who works for the OU is a poisek, even in kashrus, they become a poisek in all matters. And someone took his lectures on medical issues, medical ethics, and put into a sefer. It's very interesting. And there I vaguely remember him discussing Rav Moshe Shita, I think the six-month rule. I think, if not mistaken, I think it's the six-month, that if a doctor tells a person that according to medical science of the day, they have less than 6 months to live, I don't remember the details. I don't want to make mistakes, that he has a different halakhic status than when a doctor says, you can live more than 6 months. Rav Moshe holds, you have to trust the science, and doctors, even though everyone knows that whatever a doctor says is meaningless, because Hashem is the one who gives life. There are people who doctors say you're not going to live more than a day, and they end up living 50 years. We all know that. And whatever a doctor says, you have what to say. But on the other hand, follow the science. If a person that has this condition, and you're dealing with a very an expert, and the doctor makes an assessment based on experience and medical knowledge, and he says to a patient, you have less than 6 months left, even though in halach and hashkafa, don't worry, you can live a lot longer than that. But yet in the world of halach, Rav Moshe held that number is a very significant amount of time. I don't know how Rav Moshe got the number 6 months, where in certain decisions that have to be made regarding how to proceed in his medical attention, it's different than if the doctor would say you're going to live more than 6 months. I don't remember the details. So David over here wants to know, and over here, I think there's a Malbum, I don't remember, one of the Mefarshim says something very, very spooky here about this concept. David said to Hashem, I want to know how much, tell me the future. Look into the crystal ball and tell me how much longer will I live. And what the Mefarshim will read inside soon basically say is, each one in their own, if I'm going to live, if I have something to look forward to, that I'm going to get better, then I'm willing to suffer. I will strengthen my mental state and dig in and hold out and be mekabel the yisurim. There's going to be now, let's say, al-piderech hateva, 6 weeks of terrible, terrible yisurim. If you're telling me, Hashem, that I'm going to live for another 10 years, okay, I'm willing to go through this suffering for the next 6 weeks. But if you're telling me, Hashem, I'm going to live for 6 more weeks, I'm going to live 6 weeks, I'm going to die in 6 weeks. You know what, Hashem? I don't want these 6 weeks. Let me leave the world today. Or, you don't pull the plug. My mental state will shut down. And I'm not going to fight. Part of healing is a person's frame of mind. To fight. My will to live. I have no will to live. Let me just, shut down. I'll be gone in a week. I can't handle it. I'm looking for chizuk. If you're going to tell me, David, you're going to live another 10 years. Okay, 10 years. 10 years, my children will get married. This will happen. There are good things that I can expect. I'm thinking, okay, I'm now going to fortify my frame of mind. I'm going to fight. I'm going to be able to proceed. But if you, Hashem, are telling me I'm not going to live much longer anyway, I'm not going to live more than whatever it is, you know something? What do I need this for? You tell me religion, Yisurim. That's for a very big Baal Madrega. Not everyone is expected to relish suffering where you're going nowhere. You got nowhere to go. Okay, it's a person wants to be a big Baal Madreik and he wants a Makabal Yisurim because of the next world. But you can't tell that to the average person. The average person is not Mechuyiv to go and, okay, torture me in order that I can have a greater Chelik in Elam Haba. Rabbi Chananya ben Tradir, right? They were torturing him. They attached to his body sponges that were soaked in water, and they threw him into the fire in order to prolong his torture. And one of the people that was in charge said to him, Rebbe, if I take away the sponges so that you die right away, will I have a chelik in Olam Haba? And he said, yes, you will. If you will do something, you will do something to lessen my suffering, yes. Now, Rabbi Chananya ben Tradian, it appears, was a goner. Once they threw him into the fire, he's not going to survive much longer. The only question is, how much will he suffer? He's going to die no matter what. He's already at a point, he already passed the stage, is beyond the point of return. That's the Pashup Shat. And he's now suffering enormously. So why did Rabbi Chananya ben Tradian say to the executioner, no, leave the sponges on my body so I get the maximum torture, because every mashu of torture that I get, I'm going to go to a higher world in Olam Haba. Higher and higher. Okay? He didn't say that. He told him, you also in Olam Haba? And how can you get a... Remove the suffering. Stop my suffering. Why? Why is Rav Chananya ben Tradian giving up his Olam Haba, which only comes through Yisurim, in order to accommodate... It sounds like he was a guy, a non-Jew, who saw something very, 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 was very inspired. Obviously, you don't make those cheshbonos. No one makes cheshbonos of, oh, bring the suffering upon me so that I should have a greater chelik in Olam Haba. David over here, according to read inside some of the farshim, are saying the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm deathly ill. The whole series of sukkim that we read from Pasuk Beis, Gimel, Dalet, hey, up to until Pasuk through that Dalet, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, David is describing, I am suffering Yisurim that is beyond description. I've trained myself to keep my mouth shut and not to complain. But Ribono Shel Olam, I cannot take this much longer. I can't go on like this. Even David HaMelech, I can't go on like this. If you want me to continue to maintain the course, I mean, Makabel the Yisurim Ba'ava, I need to know how much longer. I need to know what's your timeline. And if you're telling me anyway, you don't got much time left in this world, then you know something? This is not for me. Let's end it. I'm not committing suicide, but obviously in his frame of mind is going to change in such a way where he will, in a shorter period of time, will fizzle out.
But that's not the reason why he asked it. He says like this.
Well, there are different reasons. There are different...
Midat Yamai, he says two things. Midat Yamai Mai, and then he says, Ve'ed'am Mechadel Ani. And then I know that I'm a nobody. How much of a nobody I am?
Okay, that's a different thing.
And then it says, midat chayai, the measurements, the quality of my days, I would like to know what they are.
The quality, right, the quality, two things. Okay, that's all part of it. Okay, we're going to read inside the idea that I just told you. I read here, I just forgot where I read it. I'm going to read in a moment this idea. You're right, what you're saying is the same thing. Tell me the length, the days, and the quality of life. There are two different things. Let's see. Let's see the Mitzvah Stavit first. Pasuk Hey inside. Hodieni. Okay, Hodieni. Hodieli Soif Yamai Mosei Amos V'im Ma'ot Hema. Oh, this is Mamash the Mitzvah. This is Mamash the Mitzvah. I don't have to go anywhere. It's right over here. Let me know. Soif Yamai Mosei Amos V'im Ma'at Hema. If I only have a short time left to live, Yimei Chayai Haloi Efchar Lomus Mechoili Zeh May lispol tsar godol vilomus achar ze bisman vilomus achar ze bisman kotzar. It says the Beferish, it's a very deep idea. Go talk to all the medical ethics people. If I'm only gonna live, one more time, if the ma'at hema, if I'm only gonna live for a short period of time, yimei chayai, haloi, I choose to die. Haloi efchar lomus michoili zeh, better milispol from suffering, giving me medicine in order to preserve my life in torture. Godol vilomus and die achar zman bizman kotzar. Unbelievable. This is a major chiddush. Because today, I'm telling you that people today that are they don't I don't know.
The whole secular world is like that.
No, the whole secular world is even worse than this. The whole secular world is once you reach a certain age, you live long enough, goodbye. The secular world, what goes on in the hospitals, is you've lived long enough. You're just taking up resources. You know how much it costs to spend a day in this beautiful hotel? Here you are. And you're just in the way, you're wasting everyone's time, you're not going to get better, and we have to figure out a way to shut you down as soon as possible in order to maximize profits and minimize losses. That's the way it works.
That's worse than this. Here
that's much worse than this.
Here he's inside, and we know halacha, you got to ask your local rabbi. Terminal treatments of kidney, whatever, that are in total tsar or morphines or whatever.
What do you do?
Which can lead closer to this.
Exactly. This is a very, very complicated thing.
When I went around talking to people, I told you one time that I said to somebody, what could I do for you? You know, what could I get you? And the person said to me, an exit.
You see, today this is becoming more and more. People don't understand this. In the medical field, ever since Obama introduced legislation for the last like 15, I don't know how it was, 10, 15 years. It used to be, yes, any doctor will tell you this. It used to be you go to a doctor, the doctor has autonomy. He does whatever he wants. He can prescribe any medication he wants. And it's like a capitalist system. A doctor has a good reputation. He's able to save people. People go to the doctor. For the last 10, 15 years in the United States, the rules have changed. Doctors are no longer, they don't have power. They're trying to take away the power of an individual doctor. The person goes to a hospital, they diagnose what is his issue, and then the federal government has a protocol. If this is what your condition is, doctor looks at the person and they analyze, this is the condition, okay? The federal government, the CDC has decided this is the treatment. Nothing else. You're not allowed to give a different medication. You're not allowed to go give a medication that's ordinarily prescribed for completely different. You know, this, it's like the globalization of medicine. A doctor is like a mechanic. What part is broken? This is the part. You write it down and they ship in a new part. And if you deviate from the script, you're in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble, and it's becoming more and more controlled. Doctors are given less and less power to be creative, so to speak, in prescribing medication and thinking out of the box how to deal with certain situations. This has overflowed, this control of the federalization of medicine to end of life. This is so true. Ask anyone in Maimonides. There's a lot of things. That Maimonides is one of the few hospitals that basically breaks the law, mamish, the federal law, and doesn't follow the protocol. Because the doctors have been losing little by little of the last 10 years control, autonomy of what they can do, of prescribing medications and dealing with situations in unique ways. So once they're not in control, a person's over 80, I think there's even a rule, over 85 years old, you the government says, we don't do this anymore. We don't give this medication. We don't do this. What do you mean it's going to preserve his life? He'll live another 6 months. 6 months? What's 6 months? You're just taking up space and taking up money. Social Security for another 6 months. If we can go, we can cut down 6 months off the life every single citizen, 320 million people in America. You know how much money we can save? We can save billions of dollars. So let's cut down on man's end of life. Like every person on average will cut down 6 months, 3 months. You know how much money that adds up to? Because, and we're in control. What do you mean? We go to the doctor. I go to my doctor. your doctor doesn't have power to prescribe medicine at this stage. This is what's going on in this country. Maimonides, because there are a lot of front people that don't go for this, they literally break the law. Okay, so a doctor there, someone who works there, they literally break the law. People don't appreciate, even though you see everyone, I don't have to tell you, you see the signs on the street, what's going on there. There's another side to every story. There's another side to every story. Everything is extremely complicated. David over here is making, now that's all fine and true when the person wants to live. You want to live. What are you telling me? I mean, you know, I'm not going to go into there's a lot of discussion about COVID. Is that people, there are certain medications, many doctors didn't want to prescribe certain things. No, it's usser. You're not allowed to prescribe any medication to a person that's very sick because this is a fact, because it's called vaccine hesitancy. That the vaccine is the one and all. I'm not coming to discuss good or bad, but the belief is this is the solution, and everyone has to be vaccinated. And if there's going to be in the back of your mind that if Chas V'Shalom you get sick, there are therapeutics, then you're going to be hesitant. Who made this decision? The government. And a doctor is not allowed to go up against the rule. This is going on not just in the vaccine, in every big doctor told me, explained this to me, and this was confirmed by another doctor I spoke to. He says 100%, that's what's been going on steadily. We're losing control. There are protocols. I even know another doctor who basically lost, he was fired. Now he works in New Jersey, he used to work over here. And there was a patient over here in Flatbush, and there was a doctor. They said there's a medication which can really help this person. And he pulled all the strings and he ordered the medication and he gave it to the person. The person eventually died anyway. I don't know if it really made a difference. But because he manipulated the system to get him this medication, which is not the protocol, he was on their hit list, and eventually they let go of him. Probably people in this neighborhood probably even know who he is. Okay, and I mean, this is all part of, there is protocols, follow the protocols. So it's one thing when you personally want to go against the protocol. Okay, that's a very big issue. You want to live. But what about when the person themselves says, listen, enough is enough. I do want to follow the protocol. I'm suffering. I want out. I want an exit. Don't be a hero. Don't play games. Don't give me these magical medicines. It's just going to prolong my suffering. That's exactly what David over here says. David says, according to the Mitzvah of David, Ribbono shel Olam, if I only have a short time left to live, I'm not interested in heroics. I'm not interested in fancy medication. Get me out of here. If you're telling me that I'm going to live a long time and there's light at the end of the tunnel, okay, I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to go through with the torture in order to get to the light at the end of the tunnel. It's an amazing concept. We're according to the Mitzvah David, a patient is being given a choice to terminate his life prematurely. Because, not suicide mamish, but Sheva al tase. Even in your mind, your frame of mind, the frame of mind makes all the difference.
Medication, not on living, but hydration and nutrition.
Okay, frame of mind, even just the frame of mind. If I don't want to live anymore, if I know what's coming, your frame of mind shuts down, the body shuts down. And Shev Al Tase, don't give me medication. Shev Al Tase, no one's saying over here to pull the plug. The patient here is making a powerful decision. These are incredible words of the Mitzvah David. He's not a Pesach. The Mitzvah David is not a Pesach, obviously. But he carries a lot of weight. The Mitzvah David is definitely part of the conversation of medical ethics. Dealing. I mean, I was once in the hospital, and there was on the other side of the hall, there was a family. And the person was basically in a coma, and the family came, and they were battling the doctors, Lenox Hill. They were mamish going to war with the doctors to preserve this person every single second of coma. And the nurse, there was one particular nurse that had such a hatred for that. And she took it out on me because she thought I was going to do the same thing. Who I was caring for. And I said, you know, we're not like that. But like, I remember seeing the family, it was like a vigil. It stood there, like guards, and the mamas drove the hospital crazy. And the hospital said, you guys are nuts. You guys are nuts. What's going on over here? There's no chance he's going to live. He's gone.
But he's not in pain.
What? He's not in pain. I don't know the details. I can't talk because I don't know the details. I remember he did die. I remember I was there. He eventually did die. He was there when he died. But
I told the doctors when they told that to me about my mother, and I'm sitting at a table in a Cornell with all the big
Mumchen.
And I get up and I say, she's going to die. I say, you're all going to die. They're ready to call security.
Oh, wait.
They say, she's going to die. Leave her alone. And I said, you're all going to die. Thank you. I was making a threat on their lives. And I said, and I quickly said, God will decide, not you. And we got some more time out of it. She got off the respirator.
Wow.
She went, well, we moved to Maimonides. Just to put it all in perspective, because they said, this is all we can do. Take her out, God, leave us alone. No money, no anything.
Okay, listen, you can't generalize. You really can't generalize. Every situation is different. You really, really have to have a real mumche to understand. I don't mean to, but just the concept of the Mitzudas David is it's very fascinating. It's very fascinating that he would say this. When did the Mitzudas David live, like 300 years ago? That he would say something like this. He writes over here, again, these words are really, really, Hodiya li soifia mai mosa gamos. The imma atema. Hashem, I only live a short amount of time. You're the expert doctor. If you're telling me I only got a couple of weeks left, then, hey, I want to die. I want an exit. Shut down the machines and let me just slip away. What are you going to do to me? You're going to go, you're going to pump me up with emergency medicine and preserve me artificially to suffer more. I should suffer for a prolonged period of time and then anyway die at the end and not enjoy quality of life? Who's interested? Oh, Chayei Shah. What does Chayei Shah exactly mean? How do you define Chayei Shah? Okay, now, David had the advantage that he was speaking to an expert doctor. He was speaking to Hashem. Hashem, how long will I live? So when Hashem tells him how long he's going to live, Hashem is an expert doctor. Today, when you go to a doctor, okay, even if they have the best reputation, you know, these things today, it's so complicated because there is actually incredible bracha today. There is incredible, you know, there are things they can do today that are just beyond belief. Okay, so, you know, today it's much... David was talking to an expert doctor. So David can make this statement. Today, who are you talking to? Okay, I don't know. You cannot generalize. Every situation is unique. Unique, but the concept over here is very, very interesting. I want to die. He says the words.
You finished? Get out.
Afilu cherev chad amunach al tzavarai shel adam al yisyo'esh min aporonis. 100%. He's talking to a Navi. There he was talking to Chizkiyahu, who was talking to Yeshaya, a Navi. So L'chayr, a Navi is an expert doctor, right? He's an expert doctor. Here the Ribbono Shel Olam is an expert doctor. I don't know, I don't chashal mean to, you know, every situation is different. And here the words are, Haloi, cannot deny, Haloi, Efchar Lomos Mechoy Lizeh. David says, Hashem, if I only have a short time left to live, I want out now. Oh, Chayei Shah. Yisurim is going to, every moment is going to take you to another stratosphere. Haloi Efchar Lomos. Don't give me religious talk. I want out. It's not unbelievable what it says here? Unbelievable.
Yonah also
said, I want to die. Yonah,
there's another factor here.
I learned this when my mother was in a coma in Maimonides, and it looked like they kept giving her medications, and she kept alive. And I came, Rabbi Scheinberg was there. I said to him, "How long can this go on? I've heard stories of years." He says, "Don't worry. When the time comes, nothing will help to keep her alive." He says, "But now she should be watched and should be taken care of every minute. The hospital staff will want to turn off the medications."
Right.
But your mother needs time now for the neshama to finish its final tshuva so that she can get the nefesh can get into Gan Eden. And he says, "This you must work hard. You and your family must be here day and night watching over it." And
okay.
And this went on for a couple of weeks. And finally, I was there, and they turned it up to a maximum, and it didn't work, and that was the end. But that's the reason why we need to...
But in that case, she wasn't suffering. She wasn't suffering.
Now, even if there's no possibility of improvement...
100%.
Healing, the nefesh and the neshama still...
That's our emunah. But she wasn't suffering.
To the best of my knowledge,
she wasn't suffering. Okay, so, but what happens, Rachmanis, when a person is awake and he's suffering? Over here, David is discussing a unique situation where there's suffering. There is suffering. And David... That's a very important difference. We have to differentiate between a case where the person is comfortable.
Today you just give the patient some painkillers and it's finished.
Not so simple. Every case is different.
No,
can't generalize.
You give enough pain.
Can't generalize.
No pain.
We don't know. We don't know. No one knows what's going on in a person's mind. You see some people that when they're at that time, some they're breathing very heavily. Sometimes at that tekufa. So and they're not awake. What does that mean? Does that mean that we don't know what's going on? No one knows. No one knows. Like you said, you cannot generalize. There are many opinions in this matter. It's a very complicated matter, and it's a big conversation. But part of the conversation is the words of the Mitzudas David. David says to Hashem, "Let me know how much time I have left." And Hashem, Colin pointed out, "Let me know the quality of my life." And the Mitzudas David says the shocking words, "Haloi efchar lamus mechayli zeh milispol tsar gadol v'lamus achar zeh bizman kotzar." Let me die now, instead of fight and suffer more, and the end will be, I'll anyway die at the end. Unbelievable. David is making a personal decision for himself based upon his suffering. Today,
Haloi,
what were the Mitzudas David? He put those into the words of David.
But it's not there. But it's not in the pasuk.
He's talking from experience. The
Mitzudas
100% is interpretation. The Mitzudas David added every single two words he added in commentary that it does not say in the pasuk. Every two words he added in. He has major words. Where do you get that from? The Mesorah. I guess he had a Mesorah. I guess he had a tradition. He was taken from other Rishonim. I mean, many Pesukim, you can't learn Torah Shebuchsav without Torah Shebalpeh. Where is he getting this interpretation? Al-Khayra, even if he's saying his own interpretation, he wouldn't say something that's not lahalacha. Something that's even if you will say that he's just making he's injecting this into the pasuk, and he's saying his own ideas. The Mitzudas David is something as a person who's accepted in Klal Yisrael as a legitimate representative of the Messiah, and he's saying a concept which. On its own merit, stands such a concept. Haloi evchar lomus mechayli zeh, rather me lispel tsar gadol. And then what's the end going to be? The end's going to be I'm going to die anyway from the tsar v'lomus achar zeh bizman kotzar. So why should I have to suffer for a few weeks? Let's get it over with already. Wow. Oh, chayesha, everyone screaming.
A very different perspective, which I think I shouldn't even say. How much longer did he live after he sailed?
Well, we don't know. The time frame is not at all clear. The time frame of David, when was David sick? There are different midrashim, the different Amari Chazal, some of the midrashim seem to say that he was sick his whole life. Whole life. He lived 70 years. For 69 years, he was deathly ill. Other Amari Chazal say, no, he was sick for a short period of time.
If he was ill, how could he fight?
Exactly, it's not clear exactly how long in his life he was in a situation like this. The way that it's depicted, oh, I'm going to die, I'm suffering, I can't bear the suffering, my enemies come, I have to train myself not to moan and groan. How long did this go on for? For years? For months? For days? I don't know. They're different, they're conflicting Mamori Chazal as to the time frame.
Days, how much more did he accomplish in those 2 days?
Who's to say? Look, they also about the Arizal. They say about the Arizal, are you allowed to go to sleep on Rosh Hashanah? Are you allowed to go to sleep? If the Arizal can go to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, so, of course I can go to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. And what is the response? What the Arizal accomplished when he was sleeping, a regular person today couldn't accomplish in multiple lifetimes. So don't compare what was going on in the mind of the Arizal when he was sleeping, then what we accomplished when we're wide awake over many, many, many centuries. So David, can you imagine?
The prophet's time today is yahrzeit. Somebody told me today, I don't know which gadol says, what the Chafetz Chaim did in his lifetime would take us thousands of years just to understand
what he did.
What he did. Forget about knowing, but it would take us.
The best line that I heard that always rings in my head is supposedly there was a person probably here in a Flatbush who saw the Chafetz Chaim regularly. He was, this goes back probably 50 years. Okay, it was written up. And there was someone in this community, maybe by now he probably moved to Lakewood, retired and went to his children in Lakewood. and he was telling his grandchildren, yeah, I was by the Chafetz Chaim, I was in Radin, I spent a lot of time there, and I knew the Chafetz Chaim, I always see him all the time. So Zaidi, what was he like? And he said, I'll tell you the truth. If you didn't know that he was the Chafetz Chaim, you would think he was just like an old man sitting on a park bench on Ocean Parkway. You wouldn't give him a second look. But if you knew who he was and you would watch him, every tenua, every motion he made was filled, molei v'godosh, heaping with chochma and yirashamayim. He hit himself. He walked down the street. Who is this guy? The guy, there he is. An old guy, feeds the birds. Who is this guy? You wouldn't give him a second. You know, watch. Watch how every second there's what to learn from him. That's a powerful, for me, that was a very powerful statement. He was who he was. It was natural. Natural, he hid himself. Without, you know, all this flair and pomp and ceremony that we're so used to today. Okay, getting back, let's finish with the Mitzudos. Over here, this Pasuk, Kitzi, we have here another few moments. Next page, the next words are very important. The next Mitzudos David, Rav Kalman pointed this out. Mahi kamhi v'chofal hadabim l'shoynes. Midas yomai mahi. There are two different expressions which simply mean the same thing. Poetic repetition. Let it be known to me, Kitzi, my end. Umidas yomai, the measure of my days, mahi, according to the Mitzudos David, although he just said an earth-shattering, shocking, profound concept, he snuck in about Efchar Moisi, yet when it comes to these just poetic repetition. No big deal. Don't get excited what this means. Poetic repetition. And then the last words are Eda'o me. Chodel oni. What does that mean? That's a very interesting expression. Mitzudos. Let's first look at the Mitzudos Sion. Ma kumo hu kumo kamo, the number. Okay. Chodel hu hafuch min cheled. So it says the word chodel is one of those words keves kesev. Simla salma. There are many words which for some mysterious reason. People know the answer to this question, but there are many words where the letters are interchanged. Yeah, like a keves is a sheep. Yet sometimes a keves is called a kesev, with a garment, a simla. But first is the sin, the mem. Sometimes it's, and then the lamed, it's salma. Okay, so here is another word, the word chodel, he says, is just like we would reverse the lamed and the da, which is chelet. What is cheled? Cheled means the earth. The earth. Tell me how much longer is my time on this earth? What is my, you know, this the world, the earth, The word cheled is an interesting word. It seems that it doesn't just mean the earth. It represents living on mankind. Mankind occupying, taking up space, interacting with the earth. Tell me how much more time am I going to interact, going to have a presence, a purpose on this earth? And Rav Kalman, I think what you're trying to say is, tell me the quality of my life. I want to know the quality. Because the word cheled means civilization. Civilization, which means a society that is productive in accomplishing and developing the world, advancing the world to with new technology, new benefit to humanity. How much more time do I have to participate in this activity of bringing to this world benefit? Quality of life also counts for something. It's not, you tell me my end, how many days, what do you mean by end? Does that mean years? You want to make a suggestion that, you know, there's always arichas yomim and arichas shanim. You can have long years, but unfortunately not all the time is it quality. Arichas yomim. And then there's another concept. He's saying over here three different ideas relating to life, time on this world. There's kitzi, there is yomai, and there is chodel. Mitzudas David. How much longer will I be with the people of the world? Okay, that's okay. Use it again. Okay, he puts the lamed. He puts the lamed first. Okay, we're not going to go further. I wanted to go tomorrow. Go over the mafarshim. We'll just read the pesukim very quickly. We want to review what we learned today. And tomorrow we're going to go do the mafarshim on these three pesukim. But we start Amarti. According to the Mitzudas David, Amarti David says, "I said to myself, I spoke to myself." That's the whole idea in itself. The Mitzudas David says, "What Amarti means, I thought." What do you do when you think? You have a conversation in your mind. You talk to yourself. We discussed this. Is what language do you think in? Someone told me, you don't think in any language. You don't think in any language. Thoughts are just natural. They're impulses. There's no language in your mind. In your mind, when you make calculations, and you, should I do this? What should I eat for lunch? Should I eat a banana? An apple? An orange? What should I, vegetables? That thought process is not in any language. It's just impulses in your mind. Really? Is that really true? Maybe it is. Maybe there are certain elements of conversation you have in your mind. There are no words. But there are definitely times when you think, and you think in words. You think in words. And you talk to yourself. And when you talk to yourself, the word omarti makes a lot of sense. I said. Who did you say it to? I said it to myself. I was thinking. There's a time when you think in words, in a conversation form, with language. Amarti, I said to myself, I have some visitors coming today. When they come today, Eshmira Dirochai, I'm going to guard my hanhogos, my ways, so that it will never happen, like preventive measures, Mechato Vilishani, I should slip and say something nasty with my lips. Number two, if that doesn't work, if I accidentally have an urge to say something nasty, it's not going to come out of my mouth because I'm going to put a muzzle on my mouth. I'm going to tape my mouth shut with scotch tape. Okay, I'm going to put scotch tape. You ever see the picture of Trump? A billionaire. He has a tie, right? So how does he go make sure that it doesn't fall out? He doesn't put it inside the loop. He puts scotch tape. You never saw this? Scotch tape. They zoom in. He takes some scotch tape on the table and he puts it on his tie, some scotch tape. So when they interview him, it should look like a schlump. Scotch tape. I'm going to put scotch tape on my mouth just in case. Eshmera lefi. I'm going to guard my peh. Machsoim with a muzzle. Be'oid rasha l'negdi. When my guests arrive. Rav Kalman said this seems when the Yetzahara, the rush is the Yetzahara. When he's in me and trying to get me to say something nasty. Pasuk Gimel, Nelamti, I succeeded. I said I'm going to do it, and I did it. But I've gone to an extreme. I've trained myself to be quiet to such an extreme, it would appear to an observer that I don't have the ability, I don't have the vocal cords. I'm an ilein, ne'alamti, dumia, and I am dumia to the point, the way the mitzudas, dumia to the point, two words which mean the same thing really, I'm an ilein of complete silence. And then the next words are, I've gone to an extreme where I don't know how to speak even good. I can't even say something nice. I can't go and give someone else comfort. I can't give someone a compliment because I forgot how to talk. Or, the Mitzvah stuff is the second interpretation, is if I'm going to get into a conversation and start giving someone chizuk, it's inevitable I'm going to say something bad. So better not say anything. Hechasheisi mitoiv, even from good. And all of this is occurring when ucheevi nekor, when my pain is intense. As my pain intensifies and is destroying me, doesn't matter. No complaints here. Everything is wonderful. Cham, and now he begins, according to the Mitzvah Sefer, to describe the intensity. He has a fever, 110 fever. He has a fever that's off the charts. There are no measuring instruments to measure such a high fever. Cham libi, because my heart is hot. Bahagigi, when words come out of my mouth, if you would measure the temperature of the hevel pi that comes out of my mouth, it's tivar, it burns like fire. Dibarti vilashoini, I don't know, there's like a repetition over here. Dibarti, he says there's more repetition. Dibarti, when I speak vilashoini, it burns with fire. Yes, that's what you're about. Chamli bibikirbi behagigi. Behagigi, kama, I'm assuming. No, maybe cha. I'm not sure how I really break up the words of the pasuk, but the idea is there's repetition here of that the words that come out of my mouth are very, very hot. And then David says, "Ribayne shalaylam." That's it. I've reached my limit. There's only that much I can suffer. A human being can only suffer that much. That's a very interesting thing. Every person has an end. You would think, why can't you say a person can reach such a matzav where you can do anything to him. You can torture him to no end. No such thing. No such thing. Every single person has a limit. There's a point where he cracks up. There's a point of being awake, being conscious of what's going on, and being makabel yisurim, and it gets to a point where you break. What does it mean to break? I guess the mind ceases to function. The pain is so great it causes the mind just, you know, to melt down. Every person, David over here is saying, Hodieni Hashem Kitzi, let me know where my end is. I can't settle this. Midas Yamai Mamahi, Eido'o Me Chodel Oni. Mirtz Hashem will continue tomorrow. I'll take a short break. Then I want to go back and discuss today again more things about Tekiah Shofar. Pruzbel. Mary wants me to bring in the Pruzbel. Anyone want a Pruzbel? Do a Pruzbel here? I'm not so sure everyone wants we should do a Pruzbel together.
Nobody has that.
Every shul, they put out a prizbal. I don't want to, you know, a prizbal is really a rabbi's thing. I don't want to be a murid b'malchus. The rabbi here, he's the boss. It's not so posh that we should take upon ourselves to do a prizbal here together. All right, we'll talk about it. Maybe we'll do more tomorrow.